an afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. The Man in Line in session through till one. We're open line on 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, 42 days with no confirmed positive tests for coronavirus on the Isle of Man. Astonishing performance. And something we shouldn't take for granted. 42 days. The Isle of Man has no active cases. Total number of confirmed cases still 336. 6,504 concluded tests. There are 15 people waiting results and 9 people currently in the queue for a test at the moment, and there'll be a media briefing at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We've not been told who's going to be appearing on the media briefing, and as soon as we know, then I'll be able to tell you, and you can tune in at 4 o'clock. That media briefing will be live on Manx Radio on FM and AM, and then the questions will be on AM 1368 afterwards. Yesterday, well, wow, that was a very busy day yesterday with Tim Baker, MHK, the new, he's just been in the job for 4 weeks, infrastructure minister, and he had a lot to say about the Isle of Man, and we were absolutely inundated with texts and messages and lots of calls yesterday. So I think in the near future, Mr. Baker will be back with us just to chat through really what his view of the... I mean, it is an enormous ministry, an enormous department, the infrastructure department. Yesterday, lots of follow-up on traffic and, of course, Glen Crutchery Road. Lots of people kind of accepted, some people very upset. Brian dropped me a note to say, could you ask the minister why we have so many English cars registered on the island? If they're residents, surely they should have been re-registered, as we've all been here now for several months. If they're here on compassionate grounds, they should be isolating and not driving around the island. Can we be sure that they're taxed, as they don't display a tax disc? I wonder if they even have insurance. Well, that's certainly something we've put to Mr. Baker and the department. And if I get a hear back from him, then I'll certainly announce that on the air, Brian. But interesting point that you make. Also, a note dropped in from Chris, who said... could you ask the minister about the bus and cycle lane on Glen Crutchery Road towards St Ninian's? Why not make it a carpool lane as well? Two or more people in a car, monitor it with CCTV and fines for those who don't follow the rules. Help reduce traffic into the centre of Douglas. Well, that will also go to Mr. Baker as well. And the question also that came in yesterday about some bus vanning minibuses, if they were currently licensed under private hire, why are they allowed to go into the lane? That and more to come. We'll get through some more of the comments from Mr. Baker yesterday, but an interesting and grim story that has come with us today. The Queen Scallop fishing season began this week. It began yesterday on the Isle of Man. For Manx fishermen, though, it's a devastated market. It means selling at 50% below last year's prices. Half price queenies. Despite a promising increase in queenie stocks, fewer boats than ever are out this year. The total catch limit for the season is set at 557 tonnes, which is the same as last year. Now, the chief exec of the Manx Fish Producers Association, the organisation, Dave Beard, spoke to Ewan Gorn.
The market is incredibly difficult. I mean, coronavirus stopped the markets, closed the markets overnight. Markets are starting to open up slowly. The trouble is we've got competition with other products such as king scallops, because while our king scallop season finished May 31st, around most of the UK, the king scallop fishery carries on. And they found a very big fishery off the Dogger Bank in the North Sea, huge fishery, and it's getting heavily fished at the moment. So there's a lot of king scallop, high quality king scallops on the market at the moment, which is, when you've got a limited market already, it's depressing prices both for king scallop and then also the price for queen scallop and the actual market itself. Mm. The whole market itself is so restricted, and it is. We are gradually picking up, you know, one or two extra buyers, but it's not a normal situation by any means. And the price is roughly 40 to 50% down on last year.
So is this putting people out of business?
Oh, without doubt. I mean, the difficulty is, if you can imagine, you've got a business which has the same costs 1 year to the next, but then you've got a product which is 40 to 50% down in value. It's going to hurt anybody. And that combined with the closure of the market for the king scallop season, although it did pick up a bit towards the end, Max fishing industry is in a dire situation. I mean, you look at example yesterday. It's the first day of the season. You think that all the boats will be out. You know, all the Manx boats will be out fishing. I think there was five or six boats out fishing yesterday, and five or six today.
What's a normal number?
I would expect there to be 20 to 26 Manx boats out in the first week. So it's an impossible situation. With the same bag limit per week as last year, that means effectively a 40% to 50% reduction in their sales, in what they're getting. So some of the boats have looked at those figures and said, we can't go out.
Do you worry that this is the end of the industry, or could be close to?
We are at that point. We're at a really decisive point now. There will be boats that survive through this because they are owner-skippered boats or they're owned by the larger processors. Those boats are likely to survive, but when things pick up again, hopefully we'll be able to pick up where we left off. But there'll be some boats which aren't completely owned, that have mortgages or loans on them. Those loans will not be met, and we'll lose boats. I think that's inevitable.
Well, this is really serious. That was Brian Beard of the Manx Fish Producers Organisation. So normally 20 to 26 boats out, six boats out. Six. Again, as Brian said, if the owner skippered, they may weather the storm. If it's a large processor, they may have financial resources. But this is really, really grim news for the industry on the Isle of Man. It's something we'll be watching as the day goes on and trying to get to the bottom of it. If you're involved in it, you'll know all about it. If you didn't know about it, hopefully now that'll give you an insight into the Queen Scallop fishing industry on the Isle of Man. 50%, half price compared to last year's prices as well. Although the Queenie stocks have increased, fewer boats than ever before. If you have any comment on that, we'd love to hear from you, particularly if you're in the industry. You can call, you can text, you can email as well. Paul, drop me a note regarding some interesting facts coming out of Spain. Samples of wastewater collected in March 2019 in Barcelona, says Paul, revealed traces of COVID-19. It was observed as virologists studied past samples to ascertain when the virus first got into Spain. So do we have the capacity to study samples on the island? It will give us an insight into what's gone on, or will the information be suppressed? To me, the inquiry should start now, and a small group of government employees should be employed to give the public the full story so we can understand what happened and how it spread. Well, the story goes on from day to day, Paul. And, of course, nobody quite knows how this is going to finish. But the good thing is, I'm always a glass half full. Let's look to the fact that we haven't had any new cases for 42 days, something that's unthinkable in some places around the world. Andy, I enjoyed Mr. Baker on the Man in Line yesterday. The problem he has is that most motorists don't think they're doing anything wrong by burning petrol. Keith also said, we won't do online banking. Bus lanes are the future. I expect I would open them up for motorbikes and taxis and electric cars. Also, taxi drivers pay for free buses as well. I have a petrol car and a motorbike, says Keith. Yeah, the thought about what the pandemic has done to our mental processes is interesting. We may be more willing to accept sort of new things as the pandemic recedes, because we've had 3 months really to, we've been under an emergency ruling for 3 months. G I thought Mr. Baker's attitude stank. He said that road changes are an improvement. At 8:30 this morning, there are tailbacks to the grandstand down the length of Woodburn Road, up Blackberry Lane, and back to Corkill's garage in Onchan. I may not be able to get rid of Mr. Baker, but for our silent Onchan MHKs. Catherine just wants a note about the coronavirus. Thank you, Catherine. I'd like to be asked why there are currently no transport links to Ireland. EasyJet have cancelled their schedule till September, and after contacting the steam packet, they say they're not accepting any new bookings to Ireland for the rest of the summer. We're supposed to be able to leave the island, but the Irish can't get home. I have baby twins whose grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins are desperate to see them. But now I've been told that even if we want to leave, we can't. I think it's disgraceful. Could you ask why they're not allowing people to go to Ireland, which is in a much better position than the UK? Well, we'll put that. That's gone through to our news team. And, of course, we'll be putting questions to the government officials today. Are motorcycles permitted to use the bus and cycle lane on Glencrutchery Road? Well, no, not at the moment. And the question I asked Mr. Baker yesterday, why not taxis? They're public transport. And his reply was, but they're not buses. Charles said, this is for Brian. I'm guessing the Isle of Man Vehicle Test Centre has been closed during lockdown, and imported cars over 3 years old require a test before they can be Isle of Man registered. This could be one reason why there are quite a few UK registered cars on the island. If he's worried about tax insurance and MOT status, you can actually search the UK government website, which tells you the current status of any UK registered vehicle. Tim Baker was on yesterday. That's just actually it may be interesting just to revisit what Mr. Baker had to say. If you've travelled along Glencrutchery Road in the past couple of weeks, you'll have noticed several changes. Changes to the junction at Governor's Bridge and the introduction of a bus and cycle lane have been criticised by many people. But recently appointed infrastructure, Tim Baker, Tim was on yesterday. He reckons this is the best thing that we can do.
Those were designed to ease the flow of traffic, which would otherwise have occurred because, as I mentioned earlier, Andy, we've moved 10,000 vehicle movements southbound from the Prom. If the department had done nothing, then the traffic situation, in our opinion, would have been very, very much worse than it currently is. And I think the criticism should have been that the department wasn't on the job. So, looked at where the traffic pinch points were expected to come, modifications were made to road layouts, traffic light signals, the lanes, filter lanes, bus lanes, etc. Those were designed in-house by the department's highways officers with a clear view that we needed to get something in and we needed to see how we needed to adapt that as we went on. And you've seen a number of adaptations go in subsequently, and We all knew that the initial reaction from the public was going to be extreme and it was going to be negative. But equally, we knew from previous experience that things would settle over a period of time. So you'll recall probably a year or so ago, we had issues in the south of the island with a one-way route around Ganzi, and there was all sorts of calls for it to be reversed and abandoned and everything else. Department held its nerve, and actually, a couple of weeks later, it was fine. The job got done, and everybody was reasonably happy, and that's the reality of it. The department is responsible for things that actually affect people's day-to-day lives, and we have to make hard choices. So we've done that. We believe that what we've done has made it better. The situation's kept under continuous review. But if we'd done nothing, the situation would have been far worse.
And the one way, I think, is until on the promenade is till the 14th of December, is that right?
So there is an element of one way through that period. The one-way reduces from early September when the children go back to school. So it will still be one-way for a portion of the Prom, and the northern part will go back to two-way. So it'll be an improvement. But yes, there are one-way arrangements for a long period. And the simple reason is, if we want the Prom done, we have to give the contractor the chance of doing the work in as unconstrained a manner as possible.
Tim Baker and his point. Did Ganzi change? I was just wondering whether Ganzi did change direction. Anyway, Tim Baker, and basically, I think the gist of what he said is, we know it's bad, but we'll all get used to it. And he was quite vehement yesterday, I have to say. He was very firm about the fact that the prom will be finished for Easter next year. He's very stuck to his guns on the point that the tourist season next year will see the promenade in Douglas as it should be. It should be finished as well. A note in just about the Queen is... You can still get Manx produce at the Alamance Farmers Market. Oh, there's a way. Today, the Alamance Farmers Market is until 3 today, and it's at St. John's Church Hall every Thursday, the Alamance Farmers Market. So hi to Dot and Sheila. And, of course, it's the first week, so that means it's going to be, I think, the first Friday of every month is also at Village Walk in Onchan. So... today, St. John's Church Hall. Tomorrow, Onchan Village Walk. And Saturday, every Saturday, the Courthouse in Ramsey. Alaman Farmers Markets as well. Alan said, Glen Crutchery Road, why did the infrastructure not just buy a strip of land around the big house at the St. Ninian's Junction and put an extra lane on the feed from the Williston side and towards Onchan? A new setback wall with trees could be built. The road across the junction was improved this way by buying land from the church a little while ago. Thanks, Alan, for that thought. Text us on 166177. Somebody has, on the subject of road tax and people arriving in the Isle of Man, number plate recognition should be used to check all UK and foreign vehicle registrations to monitor if the vehicles leave again. There are too many non-Manx plates on the road and evading our Manx road tax system. Are they insured as well? This problem must be addressed, says Crystal. I think the police have automatic number plate recognition systems for the Isle of Man, whether it taps into UK. Not sure. Simon, is there somewhere then on the Isle of Man that Manx people can buy more Queenies? If the prices are a bargain, I would eat Queenies every week if they were a bit cheaper. Well, they're certainly a lot cheaper than they used to be. I think some of the fishmongers, I think Devereux on... Castle Street always have a good supply of them, but that really is grim news. I don't want to. I think we can't overstate that. The fact that the fishing industry and certainly the Queen Scallop industry is in dire straits at the moment. Why do the car fanatics always leave at the same time? Why don't you just leave a bit earlier and beat the queues? Says Dave. A note in that also says. Regarding the, you can travel to Ireland from the Isle of Man, says Sally, but you have to go via the UK. No problem, same with many other countries. If you want to get to Ireland from the Isle of Man, simply go to the UK and then go to Ireland from there. A note in that also says, buses would travel as quickly via the old layout, not being backed up by the grandstand. Bicycles should have been sent through Nobles Park, says G. This is all to do with Glen Crutchery Road. Mr. Baker said yesterday that the situation on Glen Crutchery Road would be worse if the present road layout hadn't been implemented. How can he know this? We were chatting about this yesterday, actually, in the office. I think behind what he said was, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but Glen Crutchery Road is a very big road and a long road, and if that can absorb far more cars than other roads. So if they were backed up maybe at the bottom of Bray Hill or at Quarterbridge, it could cause problems regarding that. And we have to accept they'll have people within the department who make those decisions. But obviously people are very exercised about what's happening on Glen Crutchery Road at the moment. You can text, you can email, you can call... On the Man in Line, 25 past 12. Open line through till 1.
Getting back to business after lockdown? Would you like to get ahead and plan for the future? Then talk to the accountants at Nicola Bowker & Co. about how we can help. From expert advice to getting a helping hand, Nicola Bowker & Co. can help and guide you. Call 861 271.
Chase Wealth are here to help you. Whether you're looking for advice on savings, investments, or pensions, we're happy to help and provide guidance. We also specialise in lifestyle planning to help you really understand how you can use your finances now and in the future. Call 640 350 or email advice@chasewealth.in. No investments are risk-free and they could go down as well as up. Chase Financial Services, trading as Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Most ShopRite stores will open between 8 and 9 on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday mornings for our senior citizens and vulnerable customers, hopefully offering a less stressful shopping experience for them. Please check your local store for details. We ask that our other customers respect our request at this time to allow everyone access to what they need. We all need to work together to get through this. Thank you from us all at ShopRite. Ellen Vannin Fuels are here for you, supporting all the island's fuel needs, from farms and industry to homes and small businesses. Ellen Vannin Fuels. You can rely on us to keep our island moving. Call us on 844-000.
When you save a little money, it means a lot these days.
If you're looking for bathrooms and tiles, you'll always find something new in store at Pacesetter. For surprisingly affordable prices and excellent choice, search online for Pacesetter Douglas. Or better still, visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom on Harris Terrace and see the new styles in store.
You can get the best.
Back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town will be invaded by about 5,000 mods and rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the Medium Wave Service of Banks Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band for the local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
In line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
28 minutes past 12. Somebody also called in just to say the message that they should be putting double yellow lines by the crematorium on Glencrutchery Road, because people, you can't really park once there is parking within the graveyard, the crematorium, the graveyard around there. But if that's full, where do you park if you're going to a funeral? But apparently a misplaced car yesterday caused all sorts of problems up and down there. Why don't they use the prom pavement driving towards Douglas to slow the speed limit for, say, 7 o'clock till 10 every day to give another route into town and take the pressure off other roads, says Charlie. Mr. Baker, I'll just go back to that, was very adamant that it's all going to be finished by next year. And, of course, the government's received all sorts of criticism about the promenade. And let's face it, I think when they started it, nobody quite knew what was underneath the prom. It hadn't been properly done since the Victorians reclaimed the land. So they didn't quite know what was there. They didn't know where the services were. A lot of the fire hydrants apparently didn't even work. So if there'd been a fire on the prom, they could have hooked up to some fire hydrants, and they didn't work. So a lot of it has been getting the essential services where they should be, the water, the gas, the electricity, and Manx Telecom lines where they should be for the future. You just hope that once it's all open, within a couple of months, they don't have to patch a part of the road again. The prom by next Easter, who's cutting the ribbon? Elvis says, oh, Francis, lovely. What is your real name, Francis? Good to have you back. Has anybody seen any work actually being done at Governor's Dip? 2 weeks it is now, nothing obvious. The layout of the diversion's ridiculous. It would seem in the internet world is on par with that spelling mistake on the road. Let's see, a note in about the fishing. The buyers are just taking advantage of us regarding the price of queenies. That's the top and bottom of them. We're just being conned, it's a buyer's market at the moment, really, with queenies, and particularly, as they were saying, if they've just found a new stock in Dogger Bank as well. So, easy to check passports and licences, by the way. It's all done at the ferry port, and details of the Manx accommodation of the stay for our visitors is taken. I think this information should be supplied to the Isle of Man Police. Text on 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. I'll call 66 13 68. A quick note, by the way, of course, Monday is Timwell Day, and there's a big do going on, and we're covering it live on Manx Radio. But also, that West Quay, from the old Post Office Lane to East Quay, in Ramsey, Market Hill from the junction with Bourne Place to the junction with King Street, Market Place and the car park in its entirety are all closed to motor vehicles. It's from 5 o'clock till 8:30 on the 4th of July, and then from midday to midnight on the 5th of July as well. I think the Purple Helmets are doing some stuff in Ramsey as well. Here's Roger with us now on The Man in Line. Hello, Roger.
Hi, Andy. I've just got I couldn't get on with Tim Baker's, unfortunately, but I'm generally confused with the traffic give or not give way around the entrance to Onkin Glencott Street Road on the one-way system. I do understand the one-way system, but what my confusion is, if I'm coming out of Victoria Road, I've got a stop sign at the top of the road, cut and dry. I have to stop. If that's clear and I then go across, halfway across because of the cones, there's a give-way sign. So to give way to, I presume, the traffic travelling north towards Onkin, that puts me stuck in the middle of a road blocking southern traffic. So therefore, I'm sort of gone to the stop sign, across the road, give way to the left, and then I'm blocking traffic which has got the right of way coming from Onkin and allowing traffic to go towards Onkin. That sounds complicated, but if you can picture it.
And is the traffic that's coming north, do they allow you to filter in?
Well, yeah, I've had mixed things. Sometimes a car will stop and let me out, and otherwise they exercise their right of way, and I'm then stuck in between the stop sign and the give-way sign and blocking the traffic coming from Onkin. It's such a narrow, because they've split the road in half, obviously, with the cones. It's the devil in the deep blue sea.
Yes.
And, in fact, I avoid Victoria Road now because I just don't know what to do. And a crazy situation, if I was driving a coach out of Victoria Road and I went across the stop sign that was clear but then had to stop at the give-way sign, I'd have the tail or the boot of the coach in Victoria Road, the body of the coach in Glencott Street Road, and the front of the coach, the engine, in the northern Glencott Street Road.
Well, thankfully, nothing's gone wrong. There have been no collisions. But
I hold my breath there if I've been caught. Honestly, I don't come that way. But, yeah, I've seen on social media where people have taken videos of a traffic just not really knowing what to do. It's that give-way sign. And the crux of the question is, who's got the right of way when you come out of Victoria Road? If you have to give way to the northern traffic, then you're blocking the southern traffic. And if you've got the right of way, then there should be a give-way sign for the northern traffic to allow you to come across.
Yeah, good
People
point.
Don't seem to know, and they're sort of jerking and jumping and starting and closing their eyes, I think, and hoping for the best.
Okay, Roger, thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks, Andy. Hopefully somebody will know, and I just would like to know for myself.
All right, thanks for that. Visitors to the church car park can park at Nobles Park. Lots of space available. It's just a minute's walk away. That's Keith if you're heading to a funeral at the crematorium. Park at Nobles Park as well. I used to be a fisherman. The buyers from the fish companies buy our scallops for half the price, but still sell them at maximum price. That's the market, isn't it? Let us just hope that things improve for our Queenie fleet as well. David says, when the prom is open, maybe the horse tram will be pulled by Shergar, steered by Lord Lucan. And also, the residents in Glencrutchery Road only have two crossings between Governor's Bridge and St Ninian's. Cars can't get out to join the traffic. You can't get a crossroads to get on the bus. So let's see. And also, oh, by the way, did you notice last night, Stu Peters is back on Manx Radio. He was on last night on The Late Show. And people of colour, Isle of Man, have accused Manx Radio of failing to address systemic racism at Manx Radio. Manx Radio was cleared by the Communications Commission of an alleged breach of broadcasting rules And Stu Peters was reinstated. Stu was on last night, 10 o'clock on The Late Show every night, Monday to Friday from 10 to 1. People of Colour, the campaign group, have called on the public service broadcaster, that's Max Radio, to implement anti-racist policies and training for all staff. We'll come on to that, but first of all, I want to go to John, who's with us. Hello, John.
Hello.
John, you're live on the air.
Right, just a couple of points. I was a little surprised to hear before about your minister making claims that some of the fire hydrants don't work on the promenade. Now, having had a career in the fire service, I find that very surprising because the fire hydrants on the promenade and the surrounding areas were checked every year, as most of the fire hydrants on the island are. And they would be checked in May time before it got busy with visitors. That's one point. And the other point is the dip at Governor's Bridge. Some years ago, that road was condemned and not allowed to have heavy traffic on it because it wasn't safe. And that's why it's not used for general purpose now. I just want to know when they wave the magic wand over the road to suddenly make it safe and usable again.
Okay, John, thanks for those 2 points. And again, if we had Tim Baker, we'd ask him if that is a weight-restricted road, then interesting point. I was mentioning the People of Colour, the campaign group, the People of Colour Isle of Man, the campaign group. We've got a spokesman for the People of Colour Isle of Man. They wish to remain anonymous. And they spoke to Manx Radio's Ewan Gawne.
To be brave enough to call up and have that conversation, and obviously for him just to be dismissed in the way he was and what was said to him, and then obviously there'd be no action taken towards that. Everything's just sort of going back to normal for Mr. Peters. It was just quite disappointing for us because we feel like there was just a little bit more action that should have been taken and a bit more justice to be served so that Jordan didn't have to go through that experience and sort of have nothing come of it.
Manx Radio will operate within the structures that are set for it by the commission. And if those structures need to change in the opinion of the group, then that's not something Manx Radio can change. It's for government and politicians to change.
Yeah, of course.
Would you not say that even if the rules are wrong, Manx Radio has to follow those rules?
Yeah, we do understand that, definitely. I think what we're sort of calling for to see within Manx Radio, and it was mentioned to us, was sort of things like education on the topic, inclusion programmes, anti-racist policies. These are things that we're just calling for Manx Radio to put into place immediately.
Well, do you not think you risk tarring the entire station by the actions of one of its presenters?
We do understand that this is one person's views and that just because that person works within Manx Radio, Manx Radio shouldn't become subject to all of that. But I think this sort of goes on to the idea of like structural racism. The Stu Peters case and like the protection of him is a wider portrayal of like exactly what's happening on the Isle of Man. So black people are like coming forward and venting their trauma to people and they're literally just like being dismissed and blame is being shifted back onto them. So it's just the experience of black people coming forward and saying this has happened to me and it's upset me, and someone saying, oh well, racism and upset wasn't intended and you feel like this because it's your problem, not ours. And this is something that we see like all across the Isle of Man. This happens within the schools. Like many people have come to us and said they've gone through these experiences in schools. So it happens within the schools, within the businesses, and just throughout the community. And then it also is just within the laws and legislation. So there's no actual definition on the Isle of Man of hate speech or a hate crime. So therefore, people of colour are not protected on the Isle of Man against any of these things. And this is something that we want to address. Like the system is failing to protect people of colour and there just needs to be more action put in place so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Well, here's the Managing Director of Manx Radio, Chris Sully.
I hear their concerns, but I think it's very easy to make accusations without being fully appraised of the fact. Obviously, we're in the doors, we're in the building here, we see what goes on every day, and I deny the accusation of systemic racism within the organisation. That's not true. Is it perfect? No. Is any organisation perfect? Do we need to make some changes? Do we need to look at our policies and procedures? Yes, obviously, on an ongoing basis. Things change. And just last Friday, we met with a representative from POC to talk about how we can best do that and some good policies and ideas to take forward. And we're very open to that, as I'm sure are many, many companies across the island.
So the Communications Commission did talk about staff staff training. It did talk about the insensitivity of Stuart Peters's comments. What are you doing to address that? Because Stu hasn't apologised. You know, the live element has been taken off air. Are you accepting that although you didn't breach the code, it may have been insensitive?
Well, the live element hasn't been taken off air. The telephone call thing has, because we don't have a delay system. So
the live engagement with the public.
The live engagement, yeah. Okay, so I accept that. Stu suggested a way around that. I think taking this forward, yeah, I mean, some of that ties back into what we spoke with the POC about on Friday. So the idea of, you know, let's get groups in to come and talk to us, and diversity and ethnicity training, those things that go on, and absolutely we can engage with that. And I think sometimes it's just people questioning their own sort of belief patterns and whatever. And absolutely, we will do that. We will get into routines and things. Regarding the show itself, you know, debate is a hugely important thing. The POC themselves talk about, the group talk about wanting a debate. And debate is hugely important. We cannot stifle debate,
but
because it's uncomfortable.
But by taking away Stu's right to debate with people, you're basically saying he can't be trusted.
No, not at all. I mean, I think the thing to bear in mind with that show, it was never meant to be a heavy debate show. It's meant to be a bit of fun in the evening with a late night presenter. And what we want is some characters, you know, people getting involved in the show. It was never meant to be James O'Brien on LBC. That's not what we wanted it to be. And if it's grown into that, then yeah, that's not something we necessarily wanted it to be. So yeah, it's a music and entertainment show of an evening with some phone calls.
Well, that was Chris Sully, the managing director of Max Radio. Got any thoughts on any of those? Text us, email, you can call as well. Individuals can check if UK vehicles are taxed. If they're insured as a vehicle, they can't be taxed without insurance. Gov.uk has got all the answers. If you spot a UK-plated car that you're a little unsure about, go to gov.uk, follow the links, and you can check it. The whole thing, you probably find out how much they paid for it. You knocked the nail on the head when you said no one knows what's underneath the prom, says Rob. If they kept up an apprenticeship at the DOI over the years, they've let too many of the older staff who know what's under the prom go. I think it took 100 days to infill the big pavement. The caller Roger about Victoria Road Junction is exactly right, says John. I've only driven up there once and I was stuck in the middle lane of traffic coming south. Very dangerous. Not going to use it again. If you can't state your name, don't make a claim. If you or anyone felt strong on a topic of conversation, put your name on it and stand up to it, says Dodsey as well. A note in just says, I'm glad Stu Peters is back on the radio. Let's all start thinking for ourselves. Free speech is all right, but just because you don't agree with it doesn't make you right, says that. Paul, talking about Glencuttery Road and the layout, in-house design team, they're making it up as they go along. There's now a cycle stop section on the Bray Hill line of traffic. This has been added very recently. I wouldn't like to be a cyclist, so you've now got to swerve across the cycle lane in front of moving traffic. It is a disaster waiting to happen. Got to tell you, I was really, really disappointed. Well, many things disappointed me about the COVID-19 pandemic, but a minor disappointment was the fact that we used to take the Man in Line on outside broadcast quite a bit. We were due to be at the Sulby Lunch Club in St. Stephen's Church Hall on Wednesday, April the 1st. I'm happy to say the Man in Line outside broadcasts are back. 2 weeks today, Thursday, July the 16th, we're out and about. We're going to be live at the Gaiety Theatre for that glorious cathedral of entertainment designed by the immortal Frank Matcham. Is 120 years old. The Gaiety Theatre's 120th anniversary, and a fortnight today, the Man in Line is going to be there live. Can't wait. Maybe see you there. I think Mervyn Russell Stokes is going to be there too. The man who saved the Gaiety.
For your new bathroom, visit Qplas, the most extensive bathroom showroom on the island. With over 50 stunning displays from leading brands, including hundreds of bathroom fittings, tiles and flooring. Qplas provide free design and 4D virtual display, so you can really see how your new bespoke bathroom will look. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate or see online. Qplas. You imagine, we design. Qplas.co.il.
Reynolds & Reynolds, the newest name for quality pre-loved cars and vehicles on the Isle of Man. Reynolds & Reynolds have a stunning showroom conveniently located on the Isle of Man Business Park. Reynolds & Reynolds stock a fabulous range of affordable vehicles and also supply, service and repair most makes and models. Open 7 days a week. Go on, call in today and see some friendly faces at Reynolds & Reynolds Vehicle Sales or online at reynolds.im. Part exchange and finance available. This infomercial was brought to you by Bespoke Group.
At Typhoon House, we're aware that many people are working from home during these challenging times. In addition to helping to keep essential businesses on the island running, if anyone requires cartridges for their home printers, we're here to help. We offer contactless home deliveries island-wide and are complying with all protocols relating to COVID-19. Please call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Best wishes and stay safe from all at Typhoon House.
There's only one name you need when it comes to scrap. Castain Scrap Metal. Castain will scrap all metal and they're licensed to scrap all batteries, including dry cell and lead acid batteries, to get the best prices of copper, lead, aluminium, catalytic converters, brass and more. Remember one name, Castain Scrap Metal. Castain Scrap Metal. Remember one number, 801337. 801337. Castain Scrap Metal.
Do you know any young people with time on their hands who could benefit from some training and support? TLC Business Solutions are now offering online interactive training sessions on life skills for people under 23. These courses are designed and aimed to build confidence, motivation, positivity, and help with time management, amongst other things. To take advantage of these fantastic courses, priced at just £20 per session, email info@tlc.co.im or call Sue on 488-639.
This weekend on Manx Radio, we have another chance for you to be a big winner on our winning weekend wordplay. This time we're teaming up with our friends at B&B Furniture to give away a Beautyrest two-drawer double bed with mattress and headboard worth almost £400. To be in with a chance of winning, keep listening all day Saturday and Sunday for the window of opportunity to open. Listen out for the code word on air, check the code word on our Facebook page, put together the famous phrase or saying, and you'll go into the big prize draw. We'll then announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So keep listening right across the weekend as we team up with B&B Furniture for Manx Radio's winning weekend wordplay.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
42 days and no confirmed positive test for coronavirus on the Isle of Man. Eddie dropped me a note just to say, I spent half an hour chatting about the Foresters Arms the other day after you talked about it on The Man in Line. Oh, we're talking about Lost Pubs, your favourite Lost Pub as well. I love the Foresters Arms, and it's all changed now. Well, everything changes, but that bit of Old Douglas, I think, is still very, very evocative. Thanks, Eddie, for that. I sent a text in yesterday, says H, about the change of lanes at St Ninian's from bus and cycle to cycle only up to the short filter lane at the light. It means that the buses going left have to join the centre lane, then filter back. How does that help traffic? The other day, said Mike, oh, there we are. Oh, more on the Foresters Arms. Mike says, the other day you were on about missing pubs. My favourite pubs were the Russian Abbey and the Star, and especially the Foresters. My grandfather drank there, my father did, and I did as well. Proper working man's pub. Just toasties for food unless something special was on. You didn't come out stinking of food. You came out stinking of beer. Mike, a gateway to the past. Well, the Foresters Arms was a notable place in Douglas, and the way that licensed premises are changing. Actually, I think the news team here at Manx Radio, we talked about covenants on The Man in Line when we were talking about pubs, and how the brewery sometimes puts a covenant on an ex-pub when they're selling it to say that nobody else can open it up as a pub. And we're trying to find out, I think it's the Minister, Geoffrey Boot, we're trying to find out whether they are legal at the moment. Certainly GARF commissioners maintained, I think, that the covenant on the Liverpool Arms wasn't legal. Let's have a look here. Note in to say that campaign group need to remain anonymous. I think they're a bunch of hypocrites jumping on the wrong bandwagon and COVID regulation breakers. A note in that just says, this is Mr. Baker said there are 12 buses an hour on Glencrutcher Road. There are six, two from Ramsey, four from the Birchill area. If the Southern buses, all four of them, went down Victoria Road and up York Road, it would ease the situation. Thank you, Norma. Well, actually, I think somebody sent us a spreadsheet of those buses, and I think that's gone to Mr. Baker. Sadly, because of GDPR and data protection now, I'm unable to forward any texts or emails on to any politicians who come in. Otherwise, they have me up before the data police. Before we go, I've got this is so heartwarming, and I have to share it with you. And it's a story of Chloe Rollett. The Diana Award is a prestigious award awarded to those aged between 9 and 25 for their social action or humanitarian work. The awards were set up in memory of Diana, Princess of Wales. And this year, one of the recipients is our own Chloe Rollett. She's 9 years of age. She's from the Isle of Man. Chloe was born with epilepsy and cerebral palsy, but it hasn't let it stop her raising thousands of pounds for Manx charity. She's 9 years of age. After the virtual ceremony, which included an appearance by Prince Harry, Chloe and her mum Jo spoke to our Chris Pearson.
She was so poorly and she fought hard for her life, so yeah, it's a huge thing for us. It's a bit of a fairy tale story, you know, a happy little ending for Chloe, because you know she's come through so much in her life, so we're extremely proud parents.
We had lockdown recently. That didn't stop Chloe, did it?
No, not at all.
What did she do?
So Chloe decided she wanted to sell some excess toys that she had in the attic, didn't you? She knew people were struggling with charities and whatnot. So you raised some money for the food bank, didn't you? So she raised £130 just selling toys on like a buy and sell on a Facebook page. And then straight afterwards she was doing the superhero try. So it's 1K a day for 20 days. And she's raising money for Make-A-Wish Foundation, who grant wishes for critically ill children and children such as Chloe with chronic illness as well. So far she's raised about £1,200 within 2 weeks. So, yeah, smashed a total of £500 that she aimed to raise. So, again, Chloe's, you know, with the help of the fabulous Manx community and all our friends online who are very supportive of Chloe, it's been amazing.
What would you say? So some people maybe are having hard times and have got things going on in their life that makes things a little bit difficult, but you've kind of got through that and you just don't stop. What would you say to those people? What goes through your mind? What would you say to them to get them going and enjoying life?
Well, I would say don't think about it because it's not that important. You just focus on life and not yourself. So that's kind of good.
She's 9 years of age, and what a young woman, Chloe Rollett, 9 years of age. She got a Diana Award, an award for those aged between 9 to 25 for social action and humanitarian work. You can see all the details at manxradio.com for that award. Thank you, JP. Andy, go to the Trafalgar in Ramsey. It's a great traditional pub. It is a very nice pub as well, as was the Trafalgar that was at the bottom of Douglas Head Road as well. Just a quick point, by the way, Manx National Heritage are reopening Craigneish House of Mananin, Castle Rushen and the Manx Museum from this Saturday. That's Craigneish House of Mananin, Castle Rushen and the Manx Museum, joining Peel Castle, Rushen Abbey, the Grove and the Great Laxey Wheel, which are open already. So everything gradually getting back to normal. Of course, it will be something for the people from Guernsey to see when they come to the Isle of Man. Otherwise, there wouldn't be much to see. And also, a note came in about the people who are staying on hotels on Douglas Promenade. Please don't put the people from Guernsey in the hotels on Douglas Promenade. Because they'll be looking out onto a building. So I'm sure the hotel owners of Douglas Promenade wouldn't wish that to be the case, but there we are. Also, a note in, let's see, Tom just said, I may disagree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death my right to have you sacked. Is the new woke Voltaire, says Tom. Yes, Stu Peters is back on The Late Show tonight. You can tune him in from 10 on Manx Radio. We don't want the island to go down the UK route, says Norman. We shouldn't be silenced, is his point as well. Hi, says somebody who want to be anonymous. Everyone wants to be anonymous today. Those figures are wrong on the buses going along Grand Cutlery Road. There's an extra bus service, a number 30 running too, as well. So A bus every 7 minutes along the promenade and 25 buses an hour going along Prospect Terrace. Operating costs at Bus Vanning must be through the roof with taxpayers' money. Well, that's Mr. Baker's department as well. He will be back in the next few weeks. He's very keen to get public opinion, wants to know what you think, obviously, with a big department like buses and railway, flood defences. Mr. Baker on soon, of course, ministers coming and going on the Man in Line as well. That's it for Man in Line today. Thanks for your attention today. Thanks for your messages. We listen to everything. We read every message, even though every message isn't read out on air. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. I'm Andy Wint. Back at the same time tomorrow. WINT.